right, welcome on in, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. It is the Wednesday edition of the program. Michael Fabiano will be with us today. The fantasy football focus from the Hall of Famer with the NFL Network, Michael Fabiano. Always good to catch up with Michael. Very popular segment. And my team just blows, but beyond that, there's a lot going on today in the fantasy front. I know you guys are getting your waiver wires done and teams and all that stuff. So, well, Michael with us. Boy, there's a lot going on today. I'm not sure where to start other than the thing I'm most interested in, and that's how I put this show together. It's, you know, I'm interested in the baseball games from last night. I'll get over to the Cardinals in a bit. The Lamar Odom story, I'm not quite sure where to go on that one as we sit here right now because, I don't know, when you end up in a brothel and you're there for a few days and you're unconscious in a brothel, then it's sort of the story takes a different turn because there is some parts of that story that I did find humorous, but there's nothing funny about where he is right now. I watched the Democratic debate last night, and I'll work through that in a little bit. So people ask, what is your leanings on that? And I don't have leanings. I just look at and observe, and there'll come a time, and I'll go in and I'll check off a box. But I'm not going to sit here and get all political on you guys, but there were some observations from last night. The Suns were very entertaining at the end of the game, from what it read. I didn't see it. Jared said he went over and watched it online last night. Is that, Eric, is that that's the Suns.com? Where they
Suns.com, yeah. They streamed all the pregame or the preseason.
They streamed
home
the
games.
Preseason. I wonder why they don't do that in the regular season. There's more revenue there. I mean, streaming's where it's going.
Guessing it's an NBA. It's an NBA thing.
NBA thing, or maybe the TV contract and the value of all that and the radio thing. So we'll get into that. And I'm kind of interested in the Coyotes for tonight. I don't sit here and do hockey every day because there's been no reason to do hockey every day because the team blows or has blown. This year they're 2-0. So, and when they win, you can call me a front runner and a bandwagon guy, but I'm not going to sit here and do year after year of, hey, the team may move and they're not very good and let's put Shane Doan on the air and pretend like we care. We like Shane a lot, but gosh, they've got to give people something to care about and they're two games in and they're winning. So, but I feel like today's a baseball day. You know, the Kyle Schwarber home run from last night, they're going to leave it sitting on top of the scoreboard. They're just going to leave it there. I found myself yesterday afternoon all caught up in wanting to see the Cubs do well. Miguel Montero has had a terrific series. Montero has been just amazing. Not just the series, but this season. I know that offensively people look at the numbers, but I think defensively, Miguel Montero, I feel good for him. I liked Miggy, but he needed a change of scenery. I like seeing former players. And my daughter's in Chicago, and they're all wound up about it, so it's all good. To see the city of Chicago able to celebrate like that, I didn't realize that they'd never, ever, ever had a home clinch.
Never.
Till yesterday.
Once. Never once. And it's good for baseball, and it's good for sports. Things
yes.
like what happened yesterday. I mean, of course, everyone is coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, yeah, I've been a huge Cub fan my whole life. But it's good when things like this happen. That's why when people say, well, U of A is never going to make a Rose Bowl. Yeah, they will. They will at some point. It just happens.
And then the joke of, well, they'll only make a Rose Bowl if they buy a ticket, will go away.
Well.
That one's been, that, yeah, and I've heard that one for you.
Yeah, that one's kind of old and stale. But the thing about the Cubs, Brad, man, this team's going to be good for a long time. I mean, they've got the core of their team is not just young. It's really young and really good.
No, you're right. And I watched Joe Maddon. And Joe Maddon in the second inning yesterday had his bullpen up and going. He didn't mess around. In fact, if he would have had five pitching mounds, he probably would have had five different guys up. That's just how he was going about his business yesterday. And you have these players that are, Rizzo, there's a lot of young players that you look at on that team. But I look at Rizzo, and there's Goldschmidt out here who we love and we admire, but he hasn't been into the postseason for people to see on a national stage. This is great for a guy like Rizzo. This is great for all those young players with the Cubs. And they've done a nice job, and Theo Epstein has taken his fair share of abuse. They brought in Maddon, and now they move on. This photo, I think we have it from last night. So they're going to leave the ball up there. that's awesome. Now, I don't know if they're going to leave it up there for good. I think they should, that nobody should go up there. I mean, maybe in the middle of the night, Schwarber goes up there and he takes down the ball and puts another ball up there that wasn't the real ball. Or you know that there's going to be some fan that would climb up there and say, hey, I went and I got the baseball. Because that ball's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, or someone will try to sneak in a Wrigley in the middle of the night and try to go up there and
bring a ladder with them.
Shimmy up the foul pole and try to figure out a way to get on top of the scoreboard.
Sure.
But yeah, leave it up there. It's cool.
That is, but it's like when they...
it's a piece of history. It really is.
You remember when McGuire broke the Friday's front row sign?
I do.
They should have just permanently left that. I know that years later now, people would be like, you know, that's almost 20 years ago now.
The Richie Sexson shot off the scoreboard where it broke some of the panels too.
Right. Alex Cabrera in batting practice.
Yeah.
You know, well, Alex was clean. Sure.
Funny how all three of those players, their quick rise and quick fall from stardom. I don't know.
What
happened? Maybe baseball should probably look into that.
Was there something going on there we were not aware of? So that's cool. The Dodgers and Mets, you know, Kershaw was really good last night. That series, I'm looking at the Mets young pitchers and the Utley side of it. You want to see Utley get on the field, but that was terrific having the effort that Kershaw put out last night on short night's rest. So now we have Greinke and DeGrom, and DeGrom was really good when the Dodgers played the Mets. DeGrom was really good. So I'm into that. I'm not so much into the American League series. I don't know why I can't wrap my arms around the American League series as much as the National League. Maybe because I'm in a National League city.
The Cubs were 7-0 against the Mets this year. I know that doesn't always trickle into the postseason, but I'm looking at this. Okay, of course the Dodgers have two stud pitchers at the top of their rotation.
Yeah.
But they struggle offensively from time to time, and the bats have not necessarily been there. So the Cubs have to be pretty confident, just waiting to see what happens on the other side of the bracket.
Not only that, but you've got to throw Greinke now in Game 5.
Yep.
You had to use Kershaw again, so that's a couple of
more on 3 days
starts.
Rest.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
On 3 days rest. So, and this series will start either in L.A. or New York on Saturday. So it's not like the other team is getting a whole lot. It's not like the Dodgers are going to have a whole lot of time off. They're not going to.
Yeah, they're
going to
have a day.
So you've got to sit there, and if it's Kershaw, Greinke wins and Kershaw would throw game one on Saturday. We're already at Wednesday, so he's going to have to go again on short rest unless Mattingly turns around and says, well, no, we're not going to use Kershaw. So that, you know, that story to me is both the playoffs. I'm going to work the Suns in here and then I'll get over to the Cardinals. We have some pictures of the Cardinals that I want to show in the next segment of where they are and what they're doing back in West Virginia. You may be wondering, you know, what do they do there? It's pictures of them playing golf. No, I'm just kidding. They may have played golf. But let me get the Suns in here real quick, because I feel like the Suns and the Coyotes, we're in this transition time. October is a great month for sports because the college football is going strong. The NFL is doing its thing. The baseball playoffs are great. Here in town, if we had a Suns team or a Coyotes team that had done anything over the last 5 years, it'd actually be a little bit of interest. But I will tell you that the young players for the Suns, T.J. Warren at 21, and I continue to look at T.J. Warren and say, I think they've got somebody. They've got a player here. Booker had 20, but, and you know, they lose in overtime to Houston last night, but Houston didn't have, this is one of those, hey, thanks for putting down the money to come watch these two teams play. Harden and Dwight Howard didn't play. Bledsoe, Tyson Chandler, and Alex Len didn't play. It's preseason, so you're seeing some guys are going to get cut at the end, and then they went into overtime. It's fine.
Is this going to be the kind of team that the Suns have had in the past where they may not win a bunch of games, but they're going to be entertaining to watch and there will be some intrigue because of those young players?
Well, that's, you've been here.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen those teams.
And you could probably say the same with the Coyotes. I mean, the Coyotes have not been the most exciting hockey team
Max
to watch.
Max Domi, when he's on the ice, I'm interested.
They're so far so good. I mean, they've beaten two pretty decent teams.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tonight.
No, and I'm interested when, I'd rather have, Eric, I'd rather stink out loud and have kids playing and getting better. You know, it's kind of like the Cubs from this perspective.
And the Diamondbacks, sort of.
Yeah.
Just throw the kids out there and let them learn.
Throw the kids out there and go get your brains beat in rather than roll. It was like the last few years, and Nash got mad at me and didn't want to talk because I was saying on the air openly, get him out of here. And it wasn't meant in a mean-spirited way, but it was very clear that, A, Steve was done. His body had broken down. And B, the Suns were only hanging on to him because he's Steve Nash and we want to make sure we fill the lower bowl. And that's just bad business. They'll say, no, it's smart business. You don't know what you're talking about. No, if you had moved him a couple of years earlier and started the rebuilding earlier, you might be ahead of the curve now. But I do think they're getting on the backside of the curve here. You know, if Bledsoe does have his act together, I like what Tyson Chandler's all about. I think Alex Len has gotten better. They still have Markieff Moore, so I don't want on my team. I don't buy into any of this. Well, if Keefe play, I'm tired of hearing Keefe. Keefe has done nothing. So please trade Markieff, get Markieff out of here, and give me more TJ Warren and Devin Booker. I like Devin Booker. All right, so we'll do some Cardinals on the other side and the college football stuff that's on my mind today. And I will work in Lamar Odom at some point. You have to today, as long as he comes out of this. And then Michael Fabiano will join us in about 10 minutes, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst for you guys, your fantasy football pool. All of our content is up on our website, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Television show tonight, 6:30 and 10 o'clock. We're on before and after the Coyotes game, which is cool. I'm very, very happy that Fox Sports Arizona thinks enough of our show to say we want you in some really good spots. We're on before and after the Coyotes game tonight, immediately after the game. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's get over to the Cardinals. So they are in West Virginia, and they're actually on the practice field today. It's their first practice following leaving Detroit, having Monday for a day of tape and that, and then yesterday getting a day of rest, and now they're back at it for Pittsburgh this Sunday. A really intriguing game on the surface. We have some pictures of where they are in West Virginia. It's the Greenbrier, which is a very high-end place to stay at. And there you see the Cardinals flag sitting up there. And it's nice to know that they're not in a bad facility. You know, if it's
no, not a bad facility at all.
Single-A hotel, single-star hotel. But this is where they're staying at. The Cardinals sent these pictures over to us, which is nice. Nice of them to do that. So there's a few things around the Cardinals that are really interesting to me this week. And that is Dwight Freeney's signing. And I heard Bruce Arians last night on Sirius. I have satellite radio. That's all I'm on. I'm on satellite, I'm on my phone. That's it. And Dwight Freeney, he said, is going to play probably 15 to 20 snaps. So I don't know if Dwight Freeney's ever had somebody as talented as Calais Campbell alongside of him. I don't know that. And I could look at the Cardinals' defense and say, you know, they're 23rd in the league in sacks. They've played some bad teams. They should have a better pass rush than that. I think that's exactly where Steve Keim is on all this. Look, if we're being straight so far this season, if you're talking, again, executive of the year, general manager of the year, again, you would have to look at Steve Keim. Look at what he's done with Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson is averaging over 5 yards a carry. Chris Johnson has been an amazing pickup for them. This wasn't even an off-season deal. This was in training camp. Remember, this was like the first, or was it second week of training camp that they pick up Chris Johnson. They signed Jermaine Gresham over the summer, and that was a late July signing, and he's been productive for them. And now you bring in Dwight Freeney, somebody that Arians had said he'd been talking to for a while. So that part of it is, I'm going to watch Sunday and want to see what Dwight Freeney does. The fact that Ben Roethlisberger practiced today in Pittsburgh, and he did, he went through 7-on-7 today. And Arian said he had heard that Roethlisberger was thinking about playing and had hoped that he would be smart about his injury. But if in fact that Big Ben plays and you have Dwight Freeney, you talk about really compelling. And the Steelers defense the other night, they're beat up in the secondary. There's just a lot around this game. And it's not even somebody brought up to me about, well, it's the Super Bowl rematch. No, I don't see Super Bowl rematch anymore. Maybe it's because most of the players have moved on. What's left? Calais, Fitz, Senline.
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
And Brad, Kent Summers tweeted about 10 minutes ago, on a conference call, Mike Tomlin said, "We'll see when asked if Ben will be playing Sunday. People tell me he's highly unlikely," per yeah. Kent Summers.
Well, but it's fine. And Kent's going to be with us tomorrow via Skype from back there at the Cardinals camp. That'll be fun.
Maybe he can go out in the nice picturesque backdrop in West Virginia. Be on Skype with a bunch of pretty trees and woodsy forest behind him. I doubt it. He'll probably be in a workroom.
Yeah, but he's going to be like, and so
who knows how the Wi-Fi is in West Virginia?
He'll have his golf chat on. So, well, here's what they're doing. And we'll be like, get him out of here.
It'll be good, though. He'll have his finger on the pulse, as he always does. Sure. He's going to be back there all week. So.
So, you know, there's those two things. There's also another element about the stadium. And Bruce talked about this last night. And that is, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, the Steelers' kickers blow. They're just not any good. And the open end of the field there at Heinz Field, the wind is a real factor. And so the Cardinals have Chandler Cannonzaro, who's here's a young kicker who's been very good. But that's a real concern in this week's game. I don't think that this is going to be a high-scoring game. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. You know, the Cardinals are sitting there loading up on points. But it may come down to Chandler and trying to figure out how to kick in that stadium. And he's been really good so far, but it's his first time at that stadium. And so I think that this is a concern for the Cardinals, their special teams in this week's game. It's always easy to say, well, if Carson throws this and Chris does that and Fitz does this and Calais does that and Freeney does it. But in a game like this, it comes down to how are your special teams? And they took a couple dings on the special teams with injury this past week. So you've got to look at that. On the college front, one of our guys, Jordan Hamm, and Jordy's been with us part-time, I think, for about 5-6 months. We just continue to grow the roster. And Jordan is in a space where he's more than just somebody who's here occasionally. He's a big part of what we do, and we're sending him to this Utah-ASU game. Jordan went to ASU. I think he's ready to go do a road trip.
First trip.
Don't screw it up. That's what I told him. But you know, Eric had some video. We're going to use it tonight on the TV show of Utah, of Rice-Eccles Stadium. And what an
awesome place. It's
a great scene.
I was there 2 years ago. It's a great stadium. It's not too big. The fans are super passionate. They're right on top of the field. Really picturesque with all the mountains in the background. And Salt Lake City is just a nice place.
So the first time I went there, this will date me, but it's fine. I was a sideline reporter, play-by-play guy for San Diego State. This was a game where I ended up doing the sidelines. It was a TV broadcast, and I was like 22, 23, something like that. You couldn't see the other side of the field because the crown of the field was so high. And I don't know if that's still the case. I was telling Jordan about that this morning.
I don't think so. I think they redid a bunch of stuff because when the Olympics rolled through, they updated the facilities and everything. But yeah, I can see, obviously, with the weather up there, you need a crown because they get quite a bit of moisture, whether it be rain or snow.
So, so Jordan's going to be there, and Booker's as good as any back other than Fournette. If you and I are sitting there with each other and we're talking about great running backs, I've seen Freeman at Oregon. I think he gets a lot of hype because he's at Oregon. He's good.
And that's what may hurt Booker. I mean, I know Utah's a top four team, but it's still Utah, and people don't think of a national power when they think Utah, but they should because Coach Witt's done a great job up there, and clearly
they beat Michigan.
He has the blueprint of how to be successful in the Pac-12 because it took him a couple years, but they're right there.
Well, and his name's come up for the USC job too.
I can't see that happening. He's not a USC guy.
Let me ask you something. If we're talking about the USC job, okay, let's take a job like Maryland. Maryland is open right now. Randy Etzel gets blown out, and it's only October. Thanks for playing. Get out of here. Why would anybody go take the Maryland job when in the same division you have Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State? You're never going to win, ever.
It depends. There are whispers out of Maryland that if the bigwig at Under Armour basically started at Maryland, if they're going to make a serious commitment and put a bunch of money in to get a big-name coach. If they offer the guy $1 million, whoever it is, they're not going to get a big name. But if they up the ante to $3 or $4 million, you don't necessarily need... I mean, it's
Maryland's a basketball school,
but it doesn't have to be. I mean, there's
U of A's been a basketball school,
but it doesn't have to be.
Kansas is a basketball school.
Well, that's a different story. But I'm just saying the traditional powers will always be the traditional powers. But we always circle back. Look at Baylor. Look at TCU. Look at Utah. Look at some of these schools that, you know, were fringe schools. And now they're right there. They're getting these big recruits. It's all about what have you done for me lately.
But Utah, you could go back to Urban Meyer, Utah. It's not just been Kyle Whittingham.
But they were playing in the Mountain West, and they were just that nice. Like Boise State, they're this nice little school. Yeah, they play in a small conference.
But let me ask you this. If you're in a space where you are going to go take the head coaching job at Maryland, and you are a basketball school right now, so you're being put in place to turn it around, and you've got to go up against those coaches I listed earlier, versus USC. Okay, so USC, you have to go up against Jim Mora, Todd Graham, Rich Rodriguez, Kyle Whittingham. It's not as much of a death row.
No, but it's hard to compare Maryland and USC.
These are the jobs that are open right now. I'm only just saying the jobs that are open right now. I'm not comparing the two. It just seems to me that if Maryland wants to go big game hunting, they're not in a position to do it. USC can go get anybody they want. Mm-hmm. USC can go. But if Maryland says, well, we believe that we can convince fill in the blank to leave fill in the blank to come up here. Like they go after your guy. Your guy wouldn't go take that job. He's got it all rolled up in Dallas. Okay.
No. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know who USC is going to hire. I mean, who are they? They're going to go back to the Jack Del Rio, get another USC guy in there.
Jeff Fisher. But it's like Anderson leaving Wisconsin for Oregon State. You know, if you look at that and you say, boy, that's a really strange move. Like Pat Fitzgerald, to me, would make sense for USC.
Yes.
Pat Fitzgerald's done a really good job at Northwestern. He played at Northwestern.
He could handle USC. He would be good with all the excess stuff that happens at USC.
No, but it's like your guy at Texas Tech. He's the look.
That style wouldn't really work.
I know the style, but if you're looking for somebody that's Hollywood-ish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, of course. There's no more Hollywood than
Cliff Kingsbury.
He's a very good young coach. I don't know if he's ready to take that step yet, but...
But that's where I'm going in these openings. Like Mike Norvell sitting over here with Todd Graham as this assistant head coach title. And I don't know. North Texas is there, and it's open.
But how much does that job pay? Because he's making a big chunk at ASU.
He's making a big chunk of money. But at what point does Mike Norvell say, you know what? I am ready to go be my own guy. Let's say Mike Leach doesn't make it at Washington State. Is that a place where you would go and you could lay down your roots and say, I could win here, I can win anywhere?
Sure. Because the style... It would not be hard to get the style up there because Norvell is running pretty much the same offense that Mike Leach does.
And I'm bringing this up because if you're Mike Norvell, you're 34. You've done about as what else can he do here and not be and still not run his own program? You know, that's the thing. Michael Fabiano's on the other side, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Good to catch up with Michael. That is coming up next for all your fantasy football content. None better than the NFL Network's Michael Fabiano. He joins us every week. I'm Brad Sussmat. Weekend, actually tomorrow night. And right off the top, I'm going to throw at you your favorite team, bye week, Christine Michael, Matt Castle. If you're a Cowboy buyer, okay, what direction are you going? Because Romo's got to come back eventually, Michael. And Dez is going to be back eventually. Are Cowboy players like Michael a good buy right now?
Certainly worth a roster spot, that's for sure. One of the first things I did when I got up this morning and went to the computer and saw the news, I tried to pick up Michael in every league I possibly could, just because it's smart management, because what's the worst thing that can happen? He is in a backfield committee, he doesn't produce, you cut him. Remember, the Cowboys have arguably the best offensive line in the entire league, so any running back who is seeing any significant carries or touches behind that offensive line is going to have some fantasy value. It's one of those plays that may or may not work out for fantasy owners, but it's well worth doing if you need a running back and you have one of those dead spots on your roster.
I actually have three of those dead spots, but that's my own problem.
That's not good. Hopefully they're not in your starting lineup.
No, Lamar Miller was one of those dead spots, and I blew him out, so I've just had enough. Matt Castle, where are you at on Matt Castle?
Well, as a Cowboys fan, I like the move because Brandon Whedon, not doing so well. But from a fantasy perspective,
sure.
No chance. Matt Castle is not going to be someone that I'm even looking at without Dez Bryant, especially in the lineup. So Castle is a smart move by the Cowboys in real football and fantasy football. It's much ado about nothing.
All right, and I'm getting a lot of questions about that move this morning. So let's move over to New Orleans. Willie Snead's name is popping up more and more. Mm-hmm. Are you a buyer or seller on Willie Snead?
Well, you have to be a buyer. And, you know, I loved Brandon Cooks coming into the year.
Yep.
And he had a good game last week, finally. But Snead's been the better wide receiver, which all of us predicted, right, this year. New Orleans has been tough, and he's certainly worth adding, though. There's no question about it. He is producing maybe not on the level of Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins, but he's in the number three wide receiver conversation, that's for sure.
Sort out the Falcons wide receivers. Getting a lot of questions there.
Well, I think it's sorted out. Julio's the number one guy. Roddy White is completely out of the mix and not even worth a roster spot right now. I've cut Roddy White in my Dynasty League. Just don't see him getting any better. Leonard Hankerson is now the number two, and he's rosterable in just about every 10 and 12 team league. Jacob Tammy occasionally will put up a good stat line. I don't trust him to do it very often. But how about Devontae Freeman? I mean, this guy's got 20 more fantasy points than the next best running back, who's Jamaal Charles, who unfortunately is now out for the season. And Freeman barely did anything in the first couple of games because Tevin Coleman was the starter. So right now, Devontae Freeman is this year's Justin Forsett, the guy who came out of nowhere to become a fantasy star. Hopefully he can keep it up.
Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us from the NFL Network, NFL.com, joins us every week. You mentioned Jamaal Charles' strategy on the Charles injury.
Well, you're going to the waiver wire, and hopefully you've done this already because we're talking about Wednesday. But Charcandrick West is going to be the most popular name to pick up. He's actually seen his ownership percentage increase by 20 on NFL.com. Now, Niall Davis is going to see some run as well, and we've seen Niall Davis come in and play well in the absence of Jamaal Charles in the past. So he's rosterable as well. But Andy Reid said yesterday that he feels like West is closer to Jamaal Charles in terms of his skill set. Clearly, you're never going to be able to replace a player of that caliber. But West is the way to go. Davis is sort of the secondary pickup if you're not able to get West. And I will tell this, too. I tweeted this out as well. If you grabbed West and you don't really need him, go and look for the team that has Jamaal Charles and try to snake a trade. Because it makes all the sense in the world for a desperate owner to maybe give up a little bit more than they should for a player we don't know a whole heck of a lot about, and who knows, you could end up getting a steal. If you're not trading, you're not trying, and all's fair in love and fantasy football. See that? I gave you two right there. I gave you two. So give West a look off the waiver wire, and if you don't need him, try to flip him.
Sort out what's going on here in Arizona in your strategy with Ellington and Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson has looked really good.
Yep.
I mean, Ellington had a good stat line last week, but it was all in that one run. And Bruce Arians loves to use his veterans, clearly. And Chris Johnson has done nothing to lose the top spot on the depth chart. So it's a three-headed backfield committee. We saw David Johnson get goal line work last week, too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to expect any one of the three to put up huge stat lines every single week. I mean, right now the pecking order is CJ, Ellington, and then David Johnson. But Arians typically likes to use one guy as the featured back, but maybe he's going to go away from that now. Maybe CJ2K is going to be the guy who sees early down work and is the quote-unquote featured back. But Ellington comes in and plays on passing downs, and David Johnson comes in near the goal line, short yardage, almost like the Giants, but better than the Giants because Arizona's running backs are actually producing.
Where are you at on Broncos offensive players? Again, a lot of questions about how
My
much
goodness,
longer do I
gracious.
Stick.
Gracious. What, yeah. You know, Peyton Manning is throwing the football like my girlfriend's five-year-old son right now.
Wow.
It comes out of his hand, and it's fluttering.
Harsh.
And I mean, Peyton Manning is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, fantasy quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. Of all time. Okay? Better than Dan Marino.
He was.
But he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
He started to show some cracks in the levee last year. And right now, you can't trust him to put up a good number against the Raiders, and they don't have a good pass defense at all. And now you've got Peyton playing the Browns this week, and their pass defense has been trash too, and you still can't trust him. So the problem is that Peyton's taken Demaryius Thomas with him. I mean, it's a scenario where Emmanuel Sanders is still putting up numbers. Neither one of the running backs is trustworthy, although I think Hillman is still going to end up being more trustworthy in fantasy, and I'd play him as a sleeper flex if I really needed this week against the Browns, and their run defense has not been good. You've got four teams on a bye as well. But Peyton's really dragging Demaryius Thomas down, too. And that could be a sign of things to come if you're in a dynasty league and you have Demaryius, because you got Brock Osweiler next up, and I would be surprised if Peyton Manning's playing football next year.
Well, I mean, Michael, if they can't score points against the Browns, what do you from there?
The Raiders
just,
too.
No, but if this Sunday, if they don't score, then I'm looking at it saying I'm done with any Broncos. I have to be done at least for a while.
But Brad, can you seriously bench Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders?
No, I know. By trade him.
How do you do that?
Do you trade him?
Peyton. Sanders you can trade because his value hasn't taken a hit. But, I mean, DT's value is taking somewhat of a hit right now. What are you going to get for him? I mean, that's the thing. If you feel that Demaryius Thomas is not going to produce this year and that Peyton Manning's going to completely drag him down the rest of the year, then right now is the time to package Demaryius and another player and trying to get maybe DeAndre Hopkins or try to get someone of value. But I don't know if people are going to fall for that.
Yeah, but it's one of those teams to watch this weekend. All right.
Yes.
So Michael Fabiano with us. Before I let you go, who do you start? Who do you sit this week? What matchups do you like? What matchups don't you like this week?
Well, I like Peyton Manning's matchup. It doesn't mean I'm going to start him. I just don't trust him at this point. Carson Palmer, I mean, you know, in the preseason I said that he would be a great draft bargain. He's been better than even I thought he was going to be. Dalton's been amazing. I mean, Dalton has more points than anybody right now. If you told me that in the preseason, that after 5 weeks, Andy Dalton was your top scoring fantasy wide receiver, I would seriously question your sanity. But it's true. Bortles has been good. I like him this week. I don't like Cam Newton. He's averaged fewer than 150 passing yards with one touchdown in three career games in Seattle. I mean, against Seattle, and especially in the link, you can't trust him. I don't trust Manning this week, Eli, that is. He has not played well historically in Philadelphia. You know, Josh McCown has been one of the three hottest quarterbacks in fantasy football over the last 3 weeks, but I'm not playing him against Denver because that defense is just unreal this year. A couple of big names that have not produced that I would still start, Eddie Lacy and Calvin Johnson. Johnson typically does very well against the Bears, especially at home. I also like T.J. Yeldon and Deion Lewis this week. Carlos Hyde's a good play at running back. I'm benching every Redskin. Listen, I'm even benching John Riggins. I don't trust any Redskins running back at this point. Jeremy Hill's a really tough sell right now. So is Jonathan Stewart. So is your buddy Lamar Miller, who has really done nothing along with most of the Dolphins' offensive skill position players.
Awful.
I'm a big fan of Brandon Marshall, Fitz, T.Y. Hilton this week. I would be benching Jordan Matthews and Jarvis Landry, Pierre Garçon. There's a rule in fantasy. If you're playing the Jets, you shouldn't be playing on fantasy teams. And that is the week. This is the rule this week that's going to keep a lot of Redskins on the bench.
Appreciate your time and your insight as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Michael Fabiano with us for a couple of minutes. Good to catch up with Michael. As we do every week, of course, the NFL Network and NFL.com. If you missed any part of that, we do fantasy focuses on our website, sports360az.com. Very popular segment. I think of all the things we've been doing in 4 years, Michael has got to be near the top, along with all of our insiders. We have Pedro on. People love the baseball side. Peter King, of course, very popular. Goody at the Movies. Paula, we don't mess around here. Is there somebody we need? Oh, Jake, too. We forgot about Jake. Do we need some? I'm thinking we need a college basketball guy.
We need a college basketball
guy? Do we need a college basketball guy? Is there somebody?
Be nice. I never say no to get insiders. You know that.
Yeah, Brock. We haven't had Brock on in a while. Brock? What's his problem?
Peter King. People have heard
Brock's
of him.
Too busy flying into outposts.
Yeah, he said before the year that he was going to be traveling all over, and literally he has been all over.
Yeah. I would say this straight up. Why does the Pac-12 network not go after him now that Neuheisel's gone? Brock would be the star of that network. No offense to everybody else. Jake's only doing it part-time.
Would he trade in the four-letter word, though, to go to the Pac-12 network?
You know, if he's got his family, he's a family guy. Next time we have him on, I'm just going to stir it up with him.
He would never have to fly to Syracuse or Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Well, the downside is he works for the four-letter word. That's the radio station up there is I think they're actually owned by the four-letter word.
They are.
So, well, no, they're owned by Bonneville. They're owned by Bonneville.
But all the Bonnevilles are ESPN
owned. Yeah, but he could, he could, I don't know if he's done that well where he could just, he's a smart enough guy. I'm trying to figure out his personal life. He could walk away from the four-letter word. So
maybe I'll try to get him on next week. You can ask him about that.
No, because
those interviews usually go their own direction anyway. Just sort of
there's something there. We have chemistry. We're a first date, second date type of thing. It's fine. We've been dating for 4 years. A couple things on my mind before we get out of here on the other side. The Texas mascot is just another layer of the story. And Lamar Odom. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, a couple other things that are on my mind today. Lamar Odom's story is very tragic. Lamar Odom may not make it. He's on a ventilator. The side of the story that you have to look at and say he was found in a brothel unconscious will make people giggle. When I first heard that he was in a brothel and unconscious, and that was the end of the story, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Who was he running with? You know, did he get the brothel on Priceline.com? I mean, you know, there's, you hear that stuff, but then you start reading the details about how he was on a bender since Saturday. Kobe Bryant has shown up now at the hospital. He's not being, Odom is not responsive. Lamar Odom was a very talented basketball player. You could do a 30 for 30 on Lamar Odom very easily. When he was at Rhode Island, actually before Rhode Island, when he was getting recruited, he had a tough upbringing, tough life that left him scarred in a lot of ways. And I remember during the recruiting process, I would talk to people about Lamar Odom. And when he went to Rhode Island and then UCLA and the NBA side of it. So I've seen him through a number of years. When he was right, boy, there was not many players that were better than him on the floor. And so right now he's hanging in, and that's not responsive. He's on a ventilator. He's just hanging, it sounds like, and there's people coming to the hospital. So that's the story on Lamar Odom. I saw where the Sarkisian story took this little spin. Joe Shad from ESPN.com, who's very good, said that Pat Hayden tried to call Sarkisian to inform him of the decision that where they were letting him go. And that Sark didn't answer because he was on a plane to an out-of-state treatment facility. So Sark learned he'd been fired when he read an email and text messages from friends expressing sympathy. Hayden said he made multiple attempts to reach Sark and those close to him, but was unable to make a connection. A letter was then sent to Sark and his agent notifying them of the termination. Here's the thing on this. So is USC going to pay for any of his medical treatment, or are they just like, we are done with you and you figure out life for yourself? Would seem very cold if they did the former rather than the latter. You know, the right thing for them to do, in my opinion, would be he was going through this while he was here and we should take care of him to some extent. Now, what extent that is, I don't know. But when they terminated him, did they take away all of his medical? Did they just say, get lost, good luck, knock yourself out, we paid you all this money, and that's it?
Yeah, I wonder if he is like a normal employee where once you're terminated, you have, or if you're, I don't know, let go for whatever reason, you have a little bit of time, you know, 2 or 3 months of benefits before the benefits go away. Sometimes with big companies, that's how it works.
Is that how it works with us?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't been fired yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yet. Pat said, Hayden said, I called him, I texted him, I called 3 different numbers of his agent, I called his sister, I finally got a hold of his brother-in-law.
Speculation. I mean, it's who do you believe when stories like this happen?
Well, it was like when they blew Lane Kiffin out on the runway, mm-hmm. right? So the bottom line on this with USC is they can't get out of their own way. Pat Hayden cannot get out of his own way. And Pat Hayden was told, or was said by the chancellor, that there'll be a search committee, and Pat even said this at the press conference, there'll be a search committee. Why does USC need a search committee? That's my question. Why do any of these places, why do you have to go hire a search firm? Now, Arizona State did have a search firm, from my understanding, and Todd Graham came through that search firm to ASU, and if you remember, it was supposed to be June Jones. It was all done that it was going to be June Jones as the next coach at ASU. And, you know, it didn't turn out, and ASU fans are happy for the most part, that Todd is the guy that's here. But why do you need a search firm at USC? And then you have Texas mascot Bevo the 14th. They had to retire him after doctors diagnosed Bevo with bovine leukemia virus. So the beloved Texas mascot Bevo 14 has been diagnosed with bovine leukemia virus following a triumphant AT&T Red River showdown, retired effective immediately. Now, you're a Big 12 guy. You've been at all these games.
I have. I've been to the Red River Rivalry. Great game.
Is this like front page stuff?
You could put Bevo 1 next to Bevo 8, next to Bevo 12, next to Bevo 14, and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, but that's just me.
That's just you, yeah.
I don't think this is super big news. I hope the steer does
but, you
okay.
Know, for ticks, we steer away from the story? So you want me to do?
Wow,
just steer away
from
it?
The end of the show could not come soon enough.
Wow, crashing down. Coyotes play the Ducks tonight at 7:30. Our TV show is on Fox Sports Arizona tonight.
Unbeaten Coyotes.
Unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
We want them to keep winning. Absolutely want them to keep
Always.
Winning. That's tonight. TV show's at 6:30 on Fox Sports Arizona and 10 o'clock as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great day.